Great, thank you. Without further ado, let's go ahead and bring up the man, the reason we're here
and celebrating today, the author of Boy's Life, Mr. McCammon.
Guys, that was fantastic. So good. I mean, really, fantastic. Great job. Listen, you know, hey, music, universal language, music. All ages, I love it, fantastic. So, hey guys, how you doing? Did you enjoy the book? Okay, good deal. I hope you did. I enjoyed writing it. But we're going to get into some kind of serious things today. I'd like to tell you a little bit about the book and how I wrote the book and some of the things that came out of writing the book. But I wanted to say also, thank you, you know, thanks for having me. Faculty, everybody that on the committee who put this together, thank you so much for having me and making this happen. I'm so excited to be here. I'm so excited to be able to talk to you. When I finished Boy's Life, I thought it was the best book I'd ever done. I was really proud of it. It was, I guess, the 11th or 12th book in my writing career. And I thought, man, you know, when I turn this thing in, my publisher is going to say, Rick, we didn't know you had this in you to do this book. Because I thought they were going to say, this is so good. We're so excited about it. Before that, let me tell you what I'd written about. Among other things, I'd written about vampires destroying Los Angeles, about a young man who can communicate with the dead, about the modern-day Usher family from Edgar Allan Poe's Fall of the House of Usher. I'd written about a bounty hunter from outer space and about the nuclear destruction and rebirth of the world, among other things. But Boy's Life was different. Not meaning to say that what I'd done before, my earlier books, didn't meet my standards. They did, and I'm very proud of them, but Boy's Life was different. So I waited for the phone call from my publisher, and it came. Soon it came. Rick, they said, this book is not what you usually do. We think you need to cut most of the material about the town and the people in that town. And you need just to write about the murder, because after all, it really is a murder mystery. So basically, gut the book. How do you think I felt when I got that call? I've been trying to figure out what you and I have in common. I turned 57 years old in July. I'm getting up there, right? The world I knew, yeah, thanks. I need it. The world I knew as a boy growing up is not the world you know. The world you know will not be the world of your sons. But that's how the world works. Change is the only constant. So what do you and I possibly have in common? One word. Pain. I knew pain when my publisher called me and told me that my book ought to be changed because really, it wasn't what they wanted. You will know pain. You might already know it. You might know it in the death of a pet or the loss of a friend or an unhappiness or unfairness somewhere in your life. But you will know it if you don't already. If not this year or the next, then somewhere ahead of you. Because that's the world too. And though we see wonderful things in the world and know wonderful people, and each day can hold a miracle, and each hour, each minute is a thing of beauty and worth, there will be pain. Count on it. So what do you do to get ready for it? What can you do? What can you do to keep the world from inflicting upon you a little death? The death of a little of your innocence. The death of a little of your joy. The death of a little of your imagination. Corey wasn't ready for the world when the three strange creatures on the train showed him what lay beyond Zephyr. The lady knew he wasn't ready. But Corey figured out what he needed. Not to avoid the hurtful things of life, because those cannot be avoided, but to be able to handle them when they came. He figured out that he needed a purpose like a fixed star that he could always follow, and courage. He figured he was going to need a lot of courage too. That's what we all need. You and I, all of us in this auditorium, we need purpose and courage. Let me tell you a story I remember reading when I was a boy, and many of you may know this story already. It was in a history book, and I always enjoyed reading history. It was about the explorers and missionaries who went into the Canadian wilderness in the 1600s, 400 years ago. A true story, and you may, like I say, you may already know the story. A Jesuit priest and three missionaries went into the wilderness to teach the Iroquois Indians about God. The first thing the Iroquois did was to cut the heads of the missionaries off and play their version of soccer with them. Then they turned their attentions to the priest. They didn't kill him because he could speak a little of the Iroquois language, and they kind of enjoyed having him around as a plaything. Over the course of several months, they cut off his fingers. They cut off his toes. They broke his back. They cut off his nose. They cut off his ears. They broke his legs. They starved him. They took him as near to death as a man can be taken without actually dying. He suffered in silence. When he thought he couldn't stand anymore, they stopped torturing him, and they began to treat him with the greatest respect. And the Iroquois chief said to him, "Because you did not rage in your pain, because you did not weep and wail in your torment, because your bones could be broken, but not your spirit, we are ready to listen to you, because your great Father must be stronger than ours." The priest stayed with them in a place of honor for the rest of his life, and they listened. He had earned their respect. You will be tested. Beyond Jesuit High School, beyond New Orleans, out in that wilderness, out there, you will be tested. Somewhere out there, you'll be tested. Purpose and courage. Purpose is a fixed star to guide your journey, and courage to go the distance. I'd like to suggest two ways to find your purpose and grow your courage. The first, read. Try your best to understand the world we live in. Keep up with current events. Form your own opinions. Make your own decisions. Even if everybody else around you has different opinions, makes different decisions, form your own. Make your own. Reading is vital, essential for the growth of the mind, for improvement of your vocabulary, very important in the world. And I firmly believe that people who read are genuinely happier than people who do not. You build the power of your own imagination, and you build your creativity by reading. 100,000 worlds will open up to you if and when you read. These worlds are right there as close as a book if you master the art and find pleasure in reading. The second, don't back down. Accept challenges. Push yourself to finish what you start, because that's really a big part of being a man. Once you decide a task is worthy to do, you don't stop until it's done. Once you decide it's worth doing, you walk through fire to do it and to finish it well. If I didn't believe that, I never would have written my first book. And for sure, Boy's Life would not be here today. Courage. To meet someone new. To spread kindness. Those are courageous things. Believe it. To listen. To hear. Not to be afraid to speak. Speak your opinion. That takes courage. Because all of you have great value. And all of you have something great to say and do in this world. Believe that too. But you're going to know pain. You're going to know unfairness. You're going to know disappointment. But you do not have to know defeat. Can you imagine what I felt when I got that call about Boy's Life from my publisher? Pain, disappointment, a sense of unfairness. But I'll tell you what I did. I got on a plane for New York the next day. I walked into that office, and because I had a purpose, I found the courage to say, I believe you're wrong. I believe the book should be published just as it is written. And because I believe that strongly enough, here is Boy's Life, just as it was written. Gentlemen, read, think, learn, have kindness and compassion and empathy for other people. Reach out to those who need help. Find joy and purpose in every day and show courage to every challenge. Pain, yes. Unfairness, yes. Disappointment, yes. But defeat, never. Thank you for having me here today. I'm glad you enjoyed the book. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'd like to open it for questions. Any questions about the book? I'd be glad to answer. Yeah.
In the book, it says there was a lot of things that are hard to separate fact from fiction. Could you give us some ideas on where you got these ideas from? Give us where you got these ideas from.
Where I got my ideas from for the book, or
for like the fact and fiction stuff?
Oh, fact and fiction. You mean how those things came together? Okay. People want to know if that was really me. If that's like autobiographical, is that what you mean? If there's really a town, if there's really a Zephyr, is that what you mean? There's really not a Zephyr. It's all my imagination, and that really is not me. Though parts of that character is me, because I always wanted to be a writer. I mean, I didn't ever think I could be a writer. I didn't know what I was going to do. Hey guys, when I was your age, I had no idea what I was going to do. Except I thought maybe I'd work for a newspaper, maybe. And I tried to work for a newspaper for a little while, and that didn't work out. So, I found something else. But anyway, a little bit of me in that character, but there's a lot of me in the Vernon character. You know, the guy who walks around, without clothes on, that's kind of me a little bit, though I've never actually walked around my town and, without clothes on. But I have come up against that idea in the publishing business that you write by a chart on the wall, you write, for money or whatever, and that's really not my thing. I don't really write for money. So the Vernon character is kind of me in a little bit. But in terms of fact, combining fact and fiction, a lot of it's made up. Some of it's fact from my childhood. It's all kind of a mashup. That's about the best I can say. Yeah. Anybody else?
Is the book The Moon My Mistress real or fake?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Is the book The Moon My Mistress real or fake? From the book Boy's Life?
The book that Vernon wrote.
Yes.
Right? Is that a real book? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
No, it's not. Not. Now, Robert Heinlein has written a book, The Moon. I think it's called The Moon, My Mistress. But I think his was called Moontown. Vernon's was called Moontown, I believe.
There.
Yeah. Okay.
Who is your favorite character in the book?
I think the lady was my favorite character. I was going to write a book about the lady, and I'd written about 200 pages into that book, actually before I started writing Boy's Life. Because actually, you know, she was going to be a full character in her own book. So I decided it just didn't work. So, okay, yeah. And interesting thing, the book was bought by Steven Spielberg for a movie. And, they've been working on the screenplay for years and years, and, I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but so he owns all the characters now. So if I wanted to do a book about the lady, I basically would have to get permission from Steven Spielberg to do that. So that's kind of interesting. But whether it's made into a movie or not, I don't know. Yeah. Back.
Okay. There's a scene in the book where Vernon, basically the same thing that happened to you with the publishers happens to Vernon.
Right.
Did you add that after your encounter with the publishers?
I had some experiences before that that kind of made me go in that direction, you know. So I kind of wrote that down as a statement to the publishers that you know, I had this in mind, that I knew this was probably coming, so I wasn't fully unprepared for what was coming. But no, that was in the book from the beginning. Yeah.
What is old Moses? Like, what is he?
I'm sorry, I'm really having trouble hearing you guys because of the...
What is old Moses? Like, is he an alligator?
What is old Moses? I'm sorry, thank you. What do you think he is? Yeah, tell me, what do you think he is? I mean, you read it, what is he? Is he real? What is he?
I don't know.
You don't know? Hey, come on. What is he? Is he a snake? Is it an alligator? Is it a combination? Is it not real at all? What is it to you?
I just thought it was a big alligator.
Okay, there it's a big alligator. No, I left it on purpose. I left a lot of this for you guys, for the reader to decide actually what it is. You know, I think I described it as sort of a combination of snake and alligator, but a lot of the details in Boy's Life I kind of left open so the reader could fill in the details.
What was your favorite genre of a book to write? You know, how you've gone through horror and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, I used to, you know, I that's what I used to read. I used to read a lot of, and I still do, I read a lot of horror, mystery, and science fiction. Really love science fiction. I grew up reading science fiction, but... you know, I really like supernatural work. As a matter of fact, the book I'm working on now is about a rock band. It's set in 2008, summer 2008, and it's a little supernatural also. So I'm kind of going back to my supernatural roots a little bit. So yeah, I enjoy that.
Whatever happened to Morwood Thaxter, the Vernon's dad?
Oh, the dad?
Yeah, Vernon's dad. What happened to him? I don't think we ever found that out.
What do you think I'm doing?
It seems like this is very open to interpretation.
Yeah,
I really don't know.
It was supposed to be. See, a lot of this is supposed to ask for. It requires your decision as to what happened. So I'm not going to say. I have an opinion, but I'm not going to say. My opinion may be different from yours. And that doesn't make it necessarily right. You know. So you have to decide that.
It seemed that there's like a lot of movie influence from in the book, like you took all the suspense from like a movie and applied that into like the book, especially like toward the end when he's like figuring out who it was that did the murder.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Is there a question in there? Is there a question? Can I? I can't take this down to the audience. Can I? Can I take this to the audience? All right. Hey guys. I cannot hear you up here. Someone will walk down there. You guys have questions. I want to get down and I want to be able to hear your questions. Okay. Let's do this. Question. Let me come to you. All right. Yeah, let me come to you. What's your question?
I was going to ask, what's your favorite book that you've written?
Oh, my favorite book I've written is probably You know, my favorite book is always the book I'm working on. I really enjoy doing Boys Life because, again, I say that that's the most successful that I think I've been in terms of what I wanted to do, you know. I'm doing this series about a young man who's a detective in New York in 1702. I'm pretty proud of that because it takes a lot of research, and I'm very proud of that. But the book I'm working on now, the book I'm always working on at the moment is my favorite one. Yeah. Thank you. Back here. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Any of your family members or friends from your childhood or right now, did they influence any of
your
characters?
Oh, yeah. The guys who are Corey's friends are sort of similar to friends I had growing up. So, they absolutely influenced me. Yeah.
In the book, a lot of, like, crazy, weird stuff happens to Corey. But,
right.
It's like he remains unfazed the whole time, and like nothing changes his personality. Like, how does that happen? Like,
how does that happen? Well, just like I said, he found his purpose. You know, he found his purpose and he found his courage. It's a hard thing to do, and it's something that, hey, you know, it's something every one of you guys are going to do. You're going to have to find your purpose and find your courage. You know, what do you want to do with your lives? That's the number one thing. What's your purpose? And to get there, you're going to have to find your courage. So, hey, that's what he did. Yeah.
What's your favorite Beach Boys song?
I like "Good Vibrations." "Good Vibrations." I really like the older Beach Boys stuff a little bit better than the surf stuff. Do you like that music? Do you like Beach Boys? Do you like that music? Fair.
I like that. This older music.
The older music.
Yeah.
No, there's the surf music. The surf. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. One more? Okay.
How long did it take you to write Boys Life?
It took me... Actually, I wrote Boys Life the fastest of any book I've ever written. And it took about 4 months. It usually takes me from 6 to 9 months to write, and it took about 4 months. I really got through it in a hurry. Are we done? Hey, you know, guys, thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed the book. I hope it was a fun experience for you. Thank you. Thanks.